So here we go. This is a sermon series called Hugs and Homecoming, based on the Gospel of Luke's story in chapter 15, 11 through 32. In this sermon, you hear the first person perspective of the Father. Hope you enjoy it.
Well, good morning. Just want you to know before I get started this morning that these locks can only come from Palestine, in the fine salons and women beauty parlors, manicured perfectly for you this morning. May I tell you a story? A story that happened long ago now. You see, a great many years ago, my crops were failing. My soil was depleted of their nutrients. They were sucked dried like an overdrawn bank account. Bugs and bacteria had taken over my soil, my village's lifeline was sapped. My sons and I, we dug and we tilled and we turned that soil. That was before my younger son left. My son, my youngest son, he's gone now. He's gone. Off in a land far away, he's gone. The Jewish patriarchs in my village, they told me that I should put him in his place. Others said that I should use him as an example. But they didn't know my son. They didn't know that determined, strong-headed 18-year-old. You see, because my son is like my soil. It can't be manipulated or controlled. So my son needed to go. He needed to grow. So I did it. And it's just like the only thing that love can do is cultivate and water the soil, hoping that the crop will rise. So I let my son go. I gave him his inheritance. But I didn't expect what happened next. The day he left for Alexandria, part of me died. My life was like my soil. Dormant, inactive, half dead. Underneath my skin, deep down in the soil of my soul, I felt betrayed, stabbed in places too deep for healing. But let me ask you a question this morning. How do you learn to live again when you are half dead? See, I came to the conclusion that the only choice that I could make is the choice between life and death. Well, I chose death. I chose to die to my ways, to my plans, to the way I thought my world should be. I chose to die to my own control over what my sons would become. Because soil and sons, they don't stay the same. They're always growing, always changing. And I couldn't rescue him. He was too old for that. So I stopped hiding. I opened myself to the deep places within me, to the pain that was inside of me, and the aches turned into sighs, and the sighs cracked open my soul until finally tears trickled from my eyes. My son was gone. I had to mourn him. I had to let go of the expectations that I placed on him. Strange thing happened when I did that. An amazing thing happened when I did that. When I stopped the digging and the tilling and the turning, God cultivated my soul. God dug and tilled and turned within me. God replenished me. God renewed me. There's a poem that is throughout the Bible. A poem that goes like this. The Lord, God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That great poem rung in my ears like a great anthem and newness and a fresh vision for life began to come to me. My rabbi, he loves to tell the story of Esau and Jacob. Have you heard of that wonderful story in the book of Genesis? Well, two sons were born. Esau was the older son, and Jacob was the younger son. Esau was what they call a hairy man. Jacob was a smooth-skinned man. So what that meant for Esau is that he was to receive the birthright and the blessing. These are very big things in my village, very important concepts in my culture. The birthright, or the bekorah, as we like to call it in Hebrew, is your share of the inheritance. The blessing at the end of life, the barakah, is the acknowledgement that you would be the patriarch of the estate, that you would lead the family. So Esau, the hairy one, he built his life around bekorah and barakah, birthright and blessing. He saw his whole life that one day he would receive the family inheritance, and one day he would be the leader of his family. But Jacob, the one who had smooth skin, was also a smooth talker. And one day, when Esau was in the fields doing back-breaking work all day, he came in and he was starving. And Jacob said, "Well, I just happened to make this big pot roast right here. And if you're hungry, I'd love for you to have it along with all of this that I've provided, bread, wine." And Esau said, "Why have you done this?" And of course, Jacob said, "Give me your solemn vow that your birthright is mine." So Esau gives away his birthright to his brother Jacob. He ate, he drank, and he regretted it. His birthright now belonged to his brother. And a few years later, when his father Isaac, Esau and Jacob's father, was growing old and about to die, his eyesight had grown poor, Jacob snuck into his room. And you know what Jacob did? Jacob told his father that he was Esau and took his blessing as well. When Esau came back, he said, "Father, why have you given my blessing to my brother?" And in my village, in my culture, once words are spoken, they can't be taken back, because words matter. So the blessing, the barakah, and the birthright, the bekorah, were gone from Esau, swindled away by his younger brother. He was enraged with anger at his brother. So his younger brother did what every younger brother should do in that situation. He left town. And for 20 years, he stayed away from home. So Esau had a choice to make. Would he choose life, or would he choose death? Soil. Apparently, Esau chose death. He chose to let God cultivate, to let God renew and replenish, to let God dig and till and turn his soil. Because, as that beautiful psalm says, the Lord, a God gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. So you know what Esau did? One day, Jacob decided to come home 20 years after he had been swindled. And as he came home, he had a large livestock and a big family. And he split up his family just in case Esau was still angry. But Esau saw him from a long ways away, and Esau ran. And Esau put his arms around his brother, and Esau kissed his brother, which in a sense was saying, I love you. You're forgiven. What's in the past is over. Esau, steadfast love. Soil and sons. They both have to be replenished and renewed. They both have to be cultivated by something more than a parent. What's that back there? Way back there on the edge of my estate. That looks like, oh no, that's just my crazy neighbor. Never mind. No, I think it is. That right there is my son. My son is coming home. He looks like he's lost a lot of weight, and he looks tired from the day's journey, but my son is right on the edge of my property. What should I do? What would you do? Would you run to him? Would you embrace him?